Rise and shine, folks. Good Friday morning to a feel-good Friday, the 9th day of January 2026. Great to have you ride along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio, from Traverse City down to the Glass City, GR to the Motor City. We say good morning to you. We welcome you. We thank you. We appreciate you. And, of course, we encourage you. Join the program at any time. You can call us, you can text us, the phone line, the text line, they are the same line, 866-365-SPIN, 866-365-7746. You can find us individually on X. Ryan Elke is at Ryan L underscore Key. I'm Anthony Bellino at AEC Bellino. Find the show at AB Spin on Sports. Find our podcast wherever it is you subscribe to get your podcast. And, of course, visit thegreatvoice.com for more information. Ryan, good Friday morning to you, my friend. How are you this morning?
I'm good. It's Friday. You know, we survived our first five-day work week of the year. So
this is true. The first one in a couple of weeks.
Yes. It's been a struggle. Real struggle. So other than that, great. Also, you know, we talked about it yesterday, you know, MSU game times and how they had an 8 o'clock game next week. Well, they announced yesterday that they're bumping that game up to 7 o'clock instead of 8.
When? On Tuesday?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why'd they do that?
No idea why.
Oh, man. I was from God.
Yeah, I was just driving up there. Then the email comes through like, hey, game time announcement. I was like, thank you.
But no reason.
I don't know what the reason was. Like, because it's really weird that the game gets shifted by an hour for college basketball.
Yeah, because of all the television implications.
Right. I don't even know what station they're on. I think it might be, I think it's a Peacock game and NBC Sports Channel game. Mm. So if it's a streaming game, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Well, that's good.
Because you're not competing. That's why I don't get why they push like the East Coast teams back on Peacock. It's like you're streaming. You can have multiple events streaming at once. You don't need to stagger it like traditional TV.
This is true because people are just going to watch whatever they want.
Right.
Right? They're just going to, because you're streaming multiple things. Hmm.
So.
Interesting. That I did not, I never really thought about that, because I always figured like if you were going to run the stream, right, you would want to run it the same way as television, because you would want all of the possible streams to go to one singular event instead of, you know, fracturing them and going to two separate events.
It's true. I get that, but it's just more of, there's no reason for an 8 or 9 o'clock start for an East Coast game.
No,
never.
Not
I don't. At all. I don't care if you're the college football championship. I don't care what you are. It's ridiculous.
Nope. Should never start that late. And yeah, we had college football playoff action last night. We had hockey last night. We had college hoops last night. We've got an action packed weekend. This coming weekend, we had a record-setting performance on the ice last night. We had our Lions GM speaking.
We have baseball news, too.
Arbitration meetings. I mean,
It's like Festivus. I got a lot of problems, and you're going to hear about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah.
And Super Wild Card Weekend is this weekend as well. So we have an action-packed program for you today. But first, let's get you all caught up with all the happenings across the world of sports. We'll do so right now in the headlines. Not one, but two goals for Patrick Kane, scoring twice to reach 500 in his career as the Red Wings won 5-1 over the Vancouver Canucks. So congratulations, Patrick Kane. The 5-1 winner. The Red Wings sweep the series with the season series with the Vancouver Canucks in a very, very good game for them. Pick up the points and get back to tied for first in the Atlantic Division. More on that game coming up. The Michigan State Spartans rallied at home to come back and win against the Northwestern Wildcats by 10, 76-66 inside the Breslin. More on that game coming up. Michigan will be back in action. The number two team in the country will host the Wisconsin Badgers. Michigan is 14-0 on the season. The Badgers come to town at 10-5 on the campaign. Speaking of tomorrow night, back inside LCA, the Pistons will host the LA Clippers. Clippers come in at 13-23. Kawhi Leonard, if you remember the last time these two teams met up, he went crazy, went for 55, a career best. He is officially listed as day-to-day.
Just thinking about this now with the Pistons playing at LCA, did you see what happened in Chicago last night?
It is one of our later headlines here, a couple stories.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that got mentioned just because we have not dealt with that here in Detroit.
I think we've only had a delay.
Right.
Yeah. And that was very, very early on. I can just jump right to that story. That's no big deal. I can hop right over there. So what had happened was that there was a game between the Heat and the Bulls. And that game was actually postponed due to condensation on the court because the United Center was, you know, they play host to both the Blackhawks and the Bulls. Well, they had the Blackhawks on Wednesday, and after a very warm, rainy day in Chicago, the basketball court wasn't actually in playable condition. Players from both teams went through their standard pregame warm-up routines, but didn't consider the court to be safe enough for the game. So more than 90 minutes of attempts to try to fix this issue and trying to fix the air conditioning in the arena, sweeping the court, mops and large towels. The NBA, the league office, the game officials, and the coaches decided on a postponement. So we've had the delay before inside LCA, but we haven't had them actually cancel a game like that and postpone it.
Can't play in the elements. Nope. Sad day for the NBA.
Yeah, the Dolphins have fired head coach Mike McDaniel after their 7-10 season. The Bears' Rome Odunze is expected back against the Packers after his 5-game absence, so that'll be a nice little boost to the offense there for the Chicago Bears. The Buccaneers have fired their offensive coordinator, Josh Grizzard, and quarterback coach Thad Lewis, so they're moving on from a couple of different positions, but they kind of had to if they're going to keep their head coach, Todd Bowles. Anthony Edwards became the third youngest to 10,000 points, so congratulations to the Ant-Man getting that one done. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle got his 1,000th win last night, so good for him. Finally got the chance to celebrate last night after his team set a franchise NBA record with 13 consecutive losses, and he waited a full month to get win number 1,000. He became the 11th coach to reach the milestone when they finally picked up the victory by 114-112 at Charlotte last night. So good for him. As we mentioned, Patrick Kane, the 50th player in NHL history to reach 500 goals, scoring twice last night. That was awesome. And then in our college football playoff game last night, it was Miami, it was Ole Miss, it was the Hurricanes as a 4-point winner, 31-27 at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. That was a lot of fun. You'll have another one later on tonight. It's the 5th seed Oregon and the 1 seed Indiana Hoosiers at 7:30 over on ESPN. We'll step aside, come back, talk a little college shooty hoops next here, Spin On Sports. Welcome back here to Spin On Sports. Great voice and network. Great to have you riding along with us. That's Ryan. I'm Anthony. 866-365. Spin is the number, 866-365-7746. Michigan State was in action last night, taking on Northwestern, and the Wildcats with a surprising 7-point edge at halftime because Nick Martinelli just wanted to go out there and get buckets. Nobody else for Northwestern really wanted to do much of anything, but he wanted to do literally everything. So I guess good on him. He's a senior, though, so this should be the last hurrah for him, for a guy who's averaging, about 24 points a game for Northwestern. He's really been kind of everything for them. He scores 28. Nobody else for the Wildcats gets into double figures, and that was really kind of it for Northwestern. I was surprised they had the lead for as long as they did in this contest because I kept looking, and it's like, all right, well, you know, the Spartans will get it back. Spartans will get it back. Spartans will get it back. And it's like, okay, all right. It was like 16 minutes-ish, give or take, in the second half. I'm like, guys, what's going on here?
They needed a Tom Izzo technical to...
Yeah, it's a technical foul.
And of all the games where we needed a former basketball player to yell about the refs from the stands.
Everybody's afraid to do it now.
You can't do it now.
Nobody wants to have the hungover presser.
Right. But those were some of those calls, because you look at the foul disparity in the first half, like it was, you know, Northwestern 10, MSU 4, but you see some of the foul calls and you're just like, what are we doing? Like there was some for, there's one for MSU and Northwestern, I believe both in the second half, clear and ones with made baskets. Like they're just like, nope, those were floor fouls. Cohen Carr, like, goes up for a dunk, gets fouled. Like, nope, floor. It's like, what? It was odd.
At that point, don't even call the foul. Just let him finish the dunk and be done with it. But, 42-25 in the rebounding margin for Michigan State. That is, if you're an opponent, like, if you're a coach and you get out-rebounded by almost 20 in a basketball game. Like if you're Northwestern, you want to talk about toughness. Like you got to get on the bus. Maybe you have the speech in the locker room, but when you get out rebounded 42-25, I don't even know what you say. That's something that you like. I can get if you shoot 38% from the field. I can get if you struggle from the free throw line. I can get if you can't buy a basket from three. Neither team could. Michigan State goes 5 of 18. Northwestern shoots 6 of 26. A little brick house building from long range. I get it. It's hoops.
Chris Collins in the post game last night, was like, listen, we went, story of the games, we went 6 for 26 from three. He goes, I feel like we had 25 open three-pointers.
He's funny.
He's like, what else is there to say other than we have to make shots?
You have to get rebounds.
Well, at Northwestern is a small team. So going against Michigan State, it's like, I think rebounding is not, not in their game plan, really. But their game plan is to, we need to make the shots because we can't compete on a size level.
But, you're going to have to eventually, recruit somebody that can go get, you can't get out rebounded by 17 or 20 every night. You're never going to win games. Like you're going to have to, at some point, you're going to have to get an offensive rebound. You have to, you're going to have to get a second chance bucket.
Right. They're going to have to, but I guess now you can recruit in midseason and add players, but
yeah, there's gotta be somebody Northwestern, playing, Lithuania.
You got to look at the G League. Yes.
There's got to be somebody at the end of the Heat's bench that you guys can go find and pay. That, or the Bulls. They weren't playing last night. You can't have somebody take the bus over. Jackson Kohler with 15. Carson Cooper with 18 and 9. Jeremy Fears with 15. And I did find it interesting that there was an Instagram account that was pointing out and highlighting his,
flops?
His frustration with the frustration in the huddle, and he was hollering, and Izzo was kind of smiling, but the context of the Instagram post was about how players are mouthing off to coaches and they don't understand the players in this era. And Jeremy Fears actually responded to the Instagram post, which I thought was pretty interesting.
That's not a player. Like if it was a different school, yes, but Tom Izzo wants his players to yell at him and take control. Carson Cooper said it last night in the locker room. Izzo was yelling at me that I need to be more selfish on offense. Carson, I want you to yell at me that you want the damn ball. It's kind of what Izzo kind of builds this team for, to where he wants the team to take control over. Unless he has to do, it's great. He's older. He doesn't want to work as much. Sometimes he has to.
And he's always said that, a player-led teams are the best teams.
Right. It's not a new thing. It's not disparaging. They're not, throwing the tantrums on the court of the ball. They're trying to be the leader of the team. And that's what Izzo wants. You never hear Izzo or fans or teammates complaining that, Jeremy Fears was yelling at us in the huddle. He was telling us what we needed to do on defense. Yeah, that's what's supposed to happen.
It's kind of his job as the as the floor general there, and so you know it took took a little while for the Spartans to regain the lead there in the second half, and then once they did, that was kind of it. I want to say that to be honest with you, God, was it? When did they get the lead back? Because I thought for a minute there, I mean, I said 16 minutes, but I think it was actually closer to under 10 minutes until Michigan State had gotten the lead back.
Because yeah, it was somewhere around there. They got the lead back early in the second half, so it might have been 16 minutes. Then Northwestern climbed back in.
Were you surprised by that?
By the way they were playing, no, I was not surprised. Jeremy Fierce had two fouls early on in the first half, so he was not auto-benched for the half, but for a good 10, 12 minutes. And Jackson Kohler paired that up with four turnovers in the first half and missing a three-pointer. What the hell was that?
Yeah, he's not supposed to do that. Supposed to be perfect.
He went a measly 3 for 6.
Jackson Kohler had as many turnovers as all of Northwestern.
Right. And Northwestern wasn't turning the ball over. So you had 8 turnovers in the first half. Northwestern had 0 or 1 in the first half. No, I wasn't surprised how it was going. It was just more of like, okay, when are we removing the heads from our rear ends?
The old head in the sand aspect there. But Sparty wins, and that's all that matters. I mean, you get the win, you survive in advance. It's a 10-point victory. So they don't cover, but whatever, gamblers,
get over it. I was close with the score call. I said 75-60 yesterday on the show.
That is very, very close. They'll have a few days off now, 4 days off before they see Indiana, and then they'll begin that Western road trip, and then we won't see back-to-back games in the Breslin until later on in the month of February. But with the victory, Michigan State is now 14-2 and 4-1 in conference play. So they're a half game back of Purdue, Michigan, and Nebraska. Purdue is 14-1 overall, undefeated 4-0 in conference play. And then you have the two unbeatens there, Michigan at 14-0, and Nebraska at 15-0 atop the conference, with Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota, of all teams, just one game back in the conference standings, and Ohio State at a game and a half back. We'll step aside when we return. We had college football last night. We were so busy yesterday with all of our local teams playing that we didn't really talk a whole lot about, if at all, the college football playoff. But we had a game last night. We have another game tonight, so we'll talk about those when we return here on Spin on Sports. Welcome back here to Spin on Sports. Great voice and network. Great to have you riding along with us. That's Ryan. I'm Anthony. 866-365-SPIN is the number. 866-365-7746. And last night on a Thursday, because we have to do it on a Thursday and a Friday, because we have to get away from we have to get away from the NFL as much as possible. Even though Coach Dan Lanning said it, and said it properly, said it appropriately, and said it respectfully, but prior to this college football playoff even starting. And what Coach Lanning said, and I'll paraphrase it real quick, because what he said was really well thought out, really well said, and I think it needs to be taken into account by the National Football League and by Roger Goodell. And I think that whatever this commission of college football and whatever the powers that be, not the chancellors and presidents, not the playoff selection committee, but the actual group that's going to run college football here moving forward, whatever that's going to look like, they need to sit down to the table. And Coach Lanning had said, look, we are the feeder system for the NFL. That's what we are. We are their development league. There is no minor league for the NFL. We are it, right? And we don't get any financial kickback from the NFL. The least that the NFL could do is leave Saturdays alone until we're done playing. That was one of his points. One of his other points is getting this thing over with by January 1st and making sure that we kind of redo the calendar here so that we can do this in a timely fashion and make it easier for everybody. Everything he said made sense. Like, I 110% support Coach Lanning, what he was saying. And you know what? Maybe he could be on the committee. I'd probably put Matt Campbell on the committee. I'd probably put Jason Candle on that committee. If Coach Harbaugh was still in college football, I'd probably throw a guy like Ryan Day on there as well. Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, right? I'd throw a lot of these guys. Pat Fitzgerald, guys that have put a lot of time at this level of coaching. You know, you got a decade plus in the game as a head coach. I think that you are immediately up for consideration, especially if you've had a lot of success. I would put you in there. Also, I would put your reputation and credibility in there. I would leave Lane Kiffin out of this. So notice the people that I said. And I know that, you know, immediately when I was excited about Pat Fitzgerald getting hired at Michigan State, I was in the office and somebody pushed back on the idea. Well, he's got a controversy. It's like, no, he doesn't. He said, yeah, he does. I was like, no, he doesn't. And the argument against, and the individual who's arguing against me is like, yes, he does. He got fired from his job for X, Y, and Z. I said, he was wrongfully terminated and then won a lawsuit for being wrongfully terminated, in which they settled out of court for. That does not mean he's got controversy. That means he's got a disgruntled football player that tried to paint him in a negative light, and the school took the bait, because we live in a very weird time right now where somebody cried wolf and everybody was just like, clutch your pearls. And instead of doing the actual due diligence to find out what was going on, they panicked. They panicked. That's why. That's what happened with Coach Fitz. And after a couple of years off, guess what? They settled out of court. He made a ton of money there, and he's going to go on. This has nothing to do with anything else that has happened prior to prior to his hiring at Michigan State. It's got nothing to do at all with any of the other controversies or quote-unquote scandals that have happened in East Lansing. As far as I'm concerned, Pat Fitzgerald's record is clean. And you cannot say that this guy's got a controversy or a scandal that's following him because he was wrongfully terminated for something that didn't happen. Okay, so that's number one. So I would put Pat Fitzgerald on my committee as well. I would make sure that from coast to coast and then in each conference, they would all be very well represented in this thing. But Dan Lanning, back to Dan Lanning here, because I kind of went off the rails there. Dan Lanning's big thing was that, hey, you know, we get in here and we support the NFL with our players and our development. The least they could do is kind of help us out and get away from Saturdays. And the reason I bring that up is because we had to have a college football playoff game last night, which was kind of fun on a Thursday night, right? I mean, that was kind of cool, gave us something. And then we'll have another one tonight. The only problem is that it's, you know, Thursday, January 8th and Friday, January 9th, and it really, really feels to me like we lost our window of opportunity to really strike gold with college football. And I know it's in a weird place, and I know that, you know, and I've mentioned this a lot of time, and, you know, maybe it's on me, maybe it's on us, maybe it's on the sport, maybe it's on all of us as media members as a whole, but there were so many things outside of the actual games themselves that kind of drew the storylines and the conversation away from college football as a whole. It's just very, very disappointing the direction that the conversation went with college football this year, that hopefully next year we'll be in a better place once we get, you know, maybe some guardrails and some rules. And a lot of that might come from what happened in Washington. Now, we won't talk about the Washington thing until next week, but just know that their quarterback signed a deal with Washington, then wanted to transfer to Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. Or pardon me, LSU with Lane Kiffin, but guess what? The deal that he signed with Washington made a very, very good contractual agreement that player signed. And guess what? He wasn't going anywhere. That's the way it goes. That's what it is. And Washington did something, and they put the language in that contract that player signed. And now his representation, or quote-unquote agent, that whole thing is a farce too. But anyways, his agent is now done representing him, and they've, you know, parted ways or done whatever they've done to, you know, move on from one another. Great. But yeah, it was a big deal, and we'll talk about it next week. But anyways, we had college football last night, and, you know, they missed their window of opportunity having it on a Thursday and a Friday. They've also not done themselves a real favor because of the way that the expanded college football playoff works. you're asking fan bases to travel too much. It's too expensive. It's just too much. So we had to go out to the Verbo Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, out to the desert last night. And we got ourselves a classic game. I mean, shoot. We got Miami driving with the football with under a minute left to go, down 3 to Ole Miss, and here it is, the game winner.
Another opportunity. Three receivers bunch to the left. Beck is looking that way. And still looking. Takes off running. Carson Beck with his legs puts Miami on top.
Carson Beck gets Miami up 31-27 after the extra point. And Miami, finally, the U, right? Even though I'm not a huge fan of Carson Beck, a fan of that, if you have listened to any iteration of this program, it's all about the U, baby. Big time Miami Hurricanes fan, and that just comes from my youth, right? And why it's the logo, it's the little hurricane mascot, it's just all of it, right? It's just all of it. And finally, you know, after years and years and years of believing that Miami was going to be back, Miami is officially back. They win the football game 31-27, and they are finally back into the conversation nationally. They are finally back to national relevance and prominence. You know, we have said for a long time, hey, Texas is back. Miami got back before Texas. And with 18 seconds left, Carson Beck on that scramble you just heard for 3 yards, and Miami is going back to the national title game for the first time since 2001 after they beat the University of Mississippi, a.k.a. the Ole Miss Rebels, 31-27 in what was a really good game last night. The Hurricanes.
I'm a little disappointed. I was rooting for Ole Miss.
Were you?
Just so they could stick it to Lane Kiffin more.
Oh, but here's the thing.
That was the only reason.
But every game they win, he's still getting paid on it.
Yeah, from LSU.
I know, but I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah, but it was getting to the point where it's like Lane Kiffin was like, oh, yeah, the old coaches I'm bringing over, they can go coach against Tulane. Yeah, cool. Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss because he didn't think he had a real shot at winning a national championship. He thought he had a better shot at LSU. What would be a greater parting gift than you leaving and the interim coaches and your players win the championship?
Yeah.
In spite of you.
Yeah. No, I get the argument. I just could not believe that LSU agreed to pay this guy out as the team that he was the coach of continued to have success. He was going to continue to get paid on it. That really bothered me. For what reason? It doesn't affect me yet. Why would I be bothered by that? That has no effect on my day-to-day life whatsoever. But I'm going to sit here and get bothered by that? That's a me problem. I need to be better. But, man, did that really grind my gears. That night, just, I don't know, something about Ole Miss. I don't know if it's the powder blue. I'm not really sure. But you get the 10-seed Miami Hurricanes, who almost didn't even get into the playoff, who didn't play in their ACC title game because the ACC has to change their entire ruling on how they're going to fix their conference. And a lot of people saw them as somewhat of a controversial pick for the college football playoff to get in to begin with, because, remember, it was Miami and it was Notre Dame, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, here they are playing for the national championship. How do you think the folks in South Bend feel about that? Miami held Texas A&M and the reigning national champion, Ohio State, to a combined 17 points to reach the semifinals. Then the Hurricanes, you know, had the Rebels, who were 13-2 for three quarters, held them down a little bit until, you know, I mean, Mississippi had 13 points in the second quarter. They put up a field goal in the third quarter. At halftime, it was 17-13 in favor of Miami. And then Ole Miss had 11 points there in the fourth, and then you needed that, you know, that last second touchdown there from the scrambling Carson Beck in order to get the victory, which was pretty cool. Malachi Toney, the hero of the college football playoff win over Texas A&M, took a screen pass 36 yards to the house to put the Canes up 24-19. But then it was Trinidad Chambliss, a year removed from winning the D2 title at Ferris State. One of the great stories in all of college football. A lot of TV time for his mom and his family last night. A lot of conversation about Grand Rapids, Michigan. So congratulations, west side of the state. Love to see that. He hit Daquan Wright for a 24-yard score with about 3:13 left. And that's where, you know, we had the charge there for Miami going back down the field. You know, for Carson Beck, won a national title as a backup at Georgia before a couple of good seasons as the starter, and you know, kept the Canes calm and cool and collected, and now gives them a shot at a national title on your home turf at Hard Rock. He's 37-5 as a starter. One more chance to win a natty now as a starter, as you'll either get the number one seed Indiana or the 5 seed Oregon in the college football playoff championship game at home, which is great. Congratulations to Mario Cristobal, who's in his 4th season coaching at his alma mater to deliver them, is awesome. That's a great story all in itself. So you have a lot of memories from the 01 national championship team behind a, you know, a defense that was, you know, very, very good. And Ole Miss, hey, you know, give them credit. Give Ole Miss credit. They found a way. I mean, they had nothing going on until Kewon Lacy, the nation's 3rd leading rusher, broke one open down the middle. And it was like, okay, that's, you know, they got to strike on some big plays. And he bursted a 73-yarder right down the middle. And it looked like he, you know, had pulled up a little bit, and he hopped on the bike because of a hammy that he's been battling through. And you get yourself the big play that Ole Miss had needed in that game. Chambliss ended up 23 of 37 for 277 and a touchdown. Lacy finished with 11 carries for 103 and a touchdown. But the big news here is that he basically had 10 carries for 30 yards the rest of the way after that big 73-yard burst. Only 121 yards in total on the ground compared to 191 on the ground from Miami. In addition to exactly the same 23 of 37 from Carson Beck passing with 268, 2 touchdowns and a pick from the Miami quarterback. So that's what you had last night in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl, which leads us to tonight's contest, which is Indiana and Oregon, a battle of Big Ten teams. This game is at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. So we're going to the Peach Bowl here, and each team playing for your chance at a national championship, a rematch of the Big Ten teams where the Hoosiers' unbeaten season was on the line as each team tries to advance to the championship game. Oregon lost to Ohio State 42-20 on January 12, 2015 in its first college football playoff championship game. Indiana has not won more than 8 games in a season since 1945, before the Cignetti era of Hoosier Daddy football. In 2024, Indiana lost in the college football playoff to Notre Dame to cap an 11-2 season before their 14-0 run to this year's semifinal matchup later on tonight. So you have Dante Moore, the Detroit Martin Luther King alum, the Michigan native. He threw for 186 yards and a touchdown in the regular season home loss to Indiana, threw 2 picks and was sacked 6 times in that game. Yikes. But in the first round of the college football playoff, they had to play James Madison, threw for 5 touchdowns, or accounted for 5 touchdowns, I should say, because he ran for 1 and threw for 4. So that was pretty cool. Was named the offensive MVP for the college football playoff quarterfinal in the Orange Bowl 23 donut win over Texas Tech. He was 26-33 for 233 in that ball game. He's going head-to-head against Fernando Mendoza, who threw for 3 touchdowns in the Hoosiers' 38-3 rout of Alabama in the Rose Bowl, which was awesome. Mendoza, a potential number one pick, the AP Player of the Year, the Heisman winner. He leads FBS quarterbacks with 36 touchdown passes and only 6 interceptions. That's a 6-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. He also ran for 6 touchdowns. So Peach Bowl is in Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Is the only venue to host 2 college football playoff national championship games, which had Ohio State's 34-23 win over Notre Dame last year and Alabama's 26-23 win over Georgia following the 2017 season. So you have you got a lot of history there for the college football playoff in this game. The Hoosiers are averaging almost 221 rushing yards per game to rank 10th in the nation. And really, when you start looking at numbers like that, they always get skewed because there's always like a G5 or some school. You know, you get like an Army or somebody that just runs the football all day long. For the Hoosiers to have the Heisman-winning quarterback and be able to run the football the way that they have, Oregon's got their hands full. You've got one of the best scoring offenses in all of college football, putting up about 42 points a game. and your defense only allows 74 yards on the ground against and only gives up 10 points a game, like, Indiana's got everything that they need. Now, these two teams haven't met since, you know, it was like, you know, game number 6 of the season. The Ducks were ranked 3rd in the country. Indiana was ranked 7th in the country. Indiana won 30-20. It was a tightly contested game there at Autzen Stadium. Indiana had to score 10 points in the first and 10 points in the fourth quarter in order to win that game. I'm expecting tonight's game to be last night was great. That was an instant classic for both clubs. I'm expecting kind of the same thing tonight. I really am. It will not be, I don't think, Indiana's route over Alabama. I don't think they'll look vastly superior to Oregon. I think Oregon's got a good shot to keep it close. But I do think that it is going to be Indiana's night, and we're going to get Indiana versus Miami in a national championship game. You can catch the bowl game tonight, the college football playoff semifinal at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl at 7:30 between the 1-seed Hoosiers and the 5-seed Ducks over on ESPN. We'll step aside. More Spin on Sports. Hour number 2 is next.